Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of a bitch, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, comrade in arms, soldier in the war with you, Sean Kwali. I'm broadcasting live once again to you from the hills and the smells of North America. We thank you, we thank you for joining us and being a part of a historic night. We're talking about the lecture series delivered by the national chairman, our national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. That's right, we're talking about doctor and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. He's going to bring to us a part two. Now, for those of you who heard part number one, you know part number one wasn't no punk, it wasn't no joke. And so he's coming back. He's giving us part two of his lecture series entitled Minister Khalid Muhammad, Spirituality and the Republican Attack on the New Black Panther Party. He's going to cover a lot, and so he will be joining us here shortly. And brothers and sisters, for those of you who it is your first time listening, or maybe your second time listening, or third time listening, whatever it is, however many times you've heard this, we want to welcome you to Black Power Radio. This is the most hard-hitting, most revolutionary 2 hours anywhere to be found in the hills of North America. And so without further ado, we want to bring to you the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, the general himself, doctor and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black power, sir.
Black power. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're on now, sir.
All right. Black power. Assalamu alaikum. Hotep. Shalom, free the land, praise the Lord, and pass the ammunition. And of course, black laws for all black people. Dear beloved brothers and sisters in the radio listening audience, I'm glad that you have tuned in tonight for the second of a three-part lecture series entitled Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad, Black Spirituality and the Republican Attack on the New Black Panther Party. So again, I open up and say that regardless to land, label, or language, we bear witness that there is but one God. In the earliest of times amongst black people in Kemet, or what is called Tamaré, the one God was called Ra. And in the description of his creation, he says, Ra, the Most High God talking. And remember that whatever name of the God that we use in the course of the next 90 minutes, we will bear witness that regardless to land, label, or language, that there is but one God and that we are the people of God. Ra says, I am the Lord of all, the Lord of the utmost limits. And after coming into being, I am the one who came into being as Kepher, one who comes into being and brings into being. When I came into being, being itself came into being. All beings came into being after I came into being. Many were the beings that came forth from the commands of my mouth. Heaven had not yet come into being, nor had earth come into being, nor had the ground been created or things which creep and crawl upon it. I raised up beings in the primordial waters as inert things. I found no place on which to stand. I formed it from the desire in my heart. I laid the foundation through my heart. This is Ra talking, as written in the Meduneter, or in the sacred writings of ancient Kemet or Tamaray. Ra said, I created forms of every kind. Many were the forms which issued forth from the commands of my mouth. Not yet had I established Shu, the power and the principle of light and air, nor had I sent forth Tefnut, the power and principle of moisture. There existed no one who acted together with me. I conceived it in my own heart. And there came into being a vast number of forms of divine beings as forms of offspring and forms of their offspring from them. The God says, I came forth from amongst the plants which I created, and I created all things which creep and crawl and exist amongst them. Then by the power and principle of light and air, and the power and principle of moisture, heaven and earth were brought into being. And by earth and heaven, Osiris or Asar, Horus or Heru, Seth or Set, and Isis or Aset, and Nephthys were brought into being from the womb, one after another. And they gave birth to the multitudes in the land. The black God talking. And in the name of that God, and if that creation story sounds familiar, read Genesis in the first chapter and check the similarities. In the name of that one God, the one supreme creator God, no, we are not a polytheistic people who worship many gods. We have always believed in the one God, known by many names and different attributes. At one stage and phase and one part of the planet, that God was called Atumre. At another point, Amun. At another time and place, Amun-Ra. At another point, El. At another point, Jehovah or Yahweh Eloha. You hear holler out in the church in these modern times, Lord God Almighty. At points in Africa called Olurun, Unkulunkulu, Nagai, Njambi, Nyame, or Mawu, Mukuru, or Ama, supreme God of the Dogon. I repeat again that regardless to land, label, or language, there is but one God and one creator. And we here tonight on this radio broadcast thank that one God for coming in the volume of time. And I, like my teacher, minister, and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, thank that God for coming in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and for raising up in our midst his messenger and his Messiah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But I also thank the Lord of heaven and earth, our Creator, for all of those men who have come in the mold of divine and who have fought for our liberation in the name of divine. So I thank that God for Reverend Nat Turner. I thank that God for Bishop Henry McNeil Turner. I thank that God for Blyden. I thank that God for giving us a man like Moses, the Most Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. I thank that God for giving us Haile Selassie. I thank that God for giving us the student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and that prophet, that fiery prophet of black nationalism, Minister Malcolm X. I thank that God for raising up a man in the early times who stood on his square and proclaimed Islam to the Asiatics in the bounds of America. I'm talking about Prophet Noble Drew Ali. I thank the one God, and I thank this divine process. Again, forgiving us all of those who have come to us in this specific series here with a spiritual knowledge and a spiritual base, though all of them are in the mold of divine. Huey P. Newton, whether he proclaimed God or not, was in the divine mold of things. George Jackson, whether he proclaimed God or not, was caught up in the divine and prophetic mold of things. Kwame Ture or Stokely Carmichael was caught in the divine mold of things. H. Rap Brown, then, and certainly today, we know him as Imam Jamil Al-Amin, in the divine mold of things. I thank God for all of them because we are the people of the book and the people of prophecy, and part of the divine will and the resurrection of God's divine people. We certainly don't want to leave out the man called Putin, who was known for putting Negroes in his place. He was known as the blacksmith. I'm talking about Clarence 13X, known as Father Allah, affectionately known as Putin, who with his mathematics was always putting Negroes in their places. And he mined the gold like the blacksmith and brought into a spiritual being and brought an enlightenment so that the word would go forth that the black man is God. I thank Allah for all of them, those that I have named and those that perhaps I have left out. I don't mean to slight anyone. I thank God for every black woman, every goddess, who really haven't got her due in history. Though the history books have marginalized the black woman, when we look in the antiquity of time, in the nature of God, there has never been a God without the goddess. And all in the history of Ra and the black god, we find Maat and Nephthys and Nut. And we find a host of divine black women. How far we have fallen. But I thank all of them for a man who have given me the inspiration to deliver this message tonight, a bold, bald-headed black man who have been much misunderstood, a fiery flamethrower who had not only an understanding but an overstanding, a master teacher, who I must admit to you and submit to you that I understand him better today than I did yesterday when he was amongst us. I gained a certain level of knowledge with him yesterday, but today I understand him in my maturity much better than I did yesterday. I speak of a bold, bald-headed black man of whom I come to teach you tonight, Minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever, who taught me that we are the lost sheep of the Bible and that we have been robbed of our name and lost from our name, lost from our language, lost from our religion, lost from our culture, lost from our God, and many of us, by the way we act, we have even lost our mind. And so we thank that God again for coming and giving us all that I have named and for giving us this particular dispensation in time where we can appreciate the ministry of Khalid Abdul Muhammad and look at him in another light. I had explained to you all at the 20-year anniversary of the New Black Panther Party, I explained that in the Black Power movement, in the Black Nationalist movement, in the Pan-African movement, that Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad is like a mujaddid, which is an Arabic or an Islamic term which means a reformer. I am not saying that he is one of those reformers. He is not, in that classical sense, a mujaddid. I am not saying that. But that was a name that I affectionately, yet seriously, gave to him in the context of the Black Power movement. Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad was a reformer sent to the Black Nationalist movement to correct the errors. He was a reviver sent to our movement, the Black Liberation Movement, the Pan-African Movement, for those that are listening in Africa, for those that are listening in Europe, for those that are listening in the United Snakes of America. He was one that was sent to correct our errors, as well as one that was sent to revive the faithful and to accelerate our imani, or our iman, our faith, and to set us really in the Black Power movement on the right path. Many of us have gone off the right path. We have taken his teachings and taken his understanding for granted. I'll get back to that in just a moment. But what I teach tonight, I will teach from him. What I teach tonight, I will teach from the many years of experiences I have gained from him and from the basis of his theological approach. Khalid Muhammad's approach amongst us was best to unify us. His approach amongst us was very thorough in his knowledge. His knowledge knew no ledge. His wisdom had no dome. Think about it. Now, the white man has us under attack. His students. Mr. Garvey, before departing America, after having been beset upon and attacked by the U.S. government, by B'nai B'rith, by the Zionists, by Negro enemies, Marcus Mosiah Garvey said that you may have captured the lion, but I have left some cubs in the bush. For those of you who doubt that we are the students and the rightful representatives of that bold, bald-headed black man, Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad, Malik Rushdie, Harold X, and for those of you who are doubt that I am his spokesman and I am his student and that we are and that I am the best authority on what he was teaching and what he would be teaching, think about this. His enemies are our enemies. His opponents are our opponents. The white man has us under attack, just like they had him under attack. The Anti-Defamation League today is as much of my enemy and our enemy as it was his enemy. The United States Congress today is even more of our enemy as it was his enemy. Niggers are as much of our enemy as they were his enemy. We keep his legacy alive, and we do not hold the opinion that he is dead. For his name means deathless. His name is an eternal name. And it was as it was given to him by his teacher, Minister Louis Farrakhan, is actually a code name for the name of the nation. His name also, Khalid, taken after the great Islamic general Khalid bin Walid. Like Khalid bin Walid, Khalid Abdul Muhammad, known as the Sword of God, the Sword of Allah. It's because of the sharpness and the cutting edge of his knowledge. Also, because of his willingness to fight. Fighting words. A fighting spirit. When you read the Quran, I'm happy to have his books of scripture out here tonight. You read in the Holy Quran, it say, Waqatilu. Waqatilu fi sabilillahi ladina yuqatilunakum. To fight in the way of God with those who fight with you. Goes on to say, be ye not of the aggressors, surely God loves not the aggressors, but by all means fight. Waqatilu. Fight in the name of God. We come in the name of a freedom fighter. We come in the name of a warrior that gives us a fighting spirit. As we talk about spirituality, we want to check our spirits tonight to see if we are in the mood to fight. If we are ready to fight. For the white man has us under attack. The Republican Congress now circling the wagons. They have, through the white man's politics and his midterm elections, have taken the Republican Party, the elephant, and turned them into power in the majority in the House of Representatives. These are really just two devils of the same side of the coin. I don't want you to get confused, but they have different agendas and different objectives and different ways of dealing with us right now. but the bottom line rule remains the same. Republican Party or Democratic Party, neither of them of our party, we're not even invited to the party, and it's not that kind of party. As you listen to the ministry of the new Black Panther Party, yesterday and today, the Congress on the back of Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and now the Congress on the backs of the new Black Panther Party, they are pledging to make an example out of us. They are pledging to circle the wagons on us and to put us out of business once and for all. For it was in the days of old George Bush, the liar and the deceiver and the devil from Texas, the Texecutioner, that even back unto 1998, when our Black Power General marched into Jasper, Texas, with an armed group of new Black Panther men, as he began to spread this thing out nationwide, it was Khalid Muhammad that spread this new Black Panther Party out all over America as we continue his work. But it was then, dear brothers and sisters, that George Bush and company have declared war on the new Black Panther Party. And for those that are not in the Panther Party, but you may be listening from the Nation of Islam, whatever persuasion, or other black organizations, if you're listening from the Nubian Nation, if you're followers of Malachi Z. York, I say Rahubat to you. The same tactics and tricks that have been used on Minister Khalid Muhammad and us are being used and have been used on you as well. The counterintelligence program of the United States or the United Snakes government is not dead. It's alive and well. It operates today under the Patriot Act. It operates today under counterterrorism. It operates today under police partnerships with the Anti-Defamation League under a so-called Jew, old hook-nosed Abraham Foxman, the devil leader of the Anti-Defamation League. Now look at this, dear brothers and sisters. I hope you will bear with me. I know it's late in the hour. If you have to, again, put some water on your face, please do so. But I can guarantee you this kind of preaching and this kind of teaching, you will not hear on Sunday mornings in the black community. You will not hear this at the mega churches. You will not hear this on your corner churches. You will not hear this at 98% of your mosque or your masjid. This kind of gospel is rare. This kind of black liberation theology is rare. But it is what is needed to get us up out of this condition and to heal us from the ills of the attacks that we have suffered from being in the white man's world and having been divided by religion. Divided by religion and divided by a hypocrite that have brought us into bondage under the name of Jesus. And so the white man has, I'll get back to that, because some of you are dissatisfied with religion and I'm going to join you. For those that are in the audience that don't want a damn thing to do with religion, say I'm dissatisfied with religion, that religion divides, let the church say I'm in Ra. Because I can understand your dissatisfaction. And then I can go on to defend why Khalid Muhammad had taught us and embraced and gave us a black liberation theology that will turn water into wine. We live in a modern-day Babylon, a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah, a modern-day evil empire that is no different than those that lived in the scriptures that they suffered under. We suffer under it today. Both the Black Panther Party of the 1960s and the Nation of Islam and others, they teach that America is a modern-day Babylon. Don't care where you are throughout the 2,000 by 3,000 miles of America, this is a modern Babylon, and you are in one of the cities of a modern Babylon. The planet Earth is 196,940,000 square miles. It has 57,255,000 square miles of land, coming up out of 139,685,000 square miles of water on a planet that weighs 6 sextillion tons. Now look. Anywhere you go on the face of the planet Earth, at any point in time, you have never seen a nation as powerful as America, with the power of destruction, I would say, as America. Not that she's as spiritually as powerful as ancient Kemet or Tamaray. Not that she is powerful in the good sense. But her destructive power of today will make the Babylon of yesterday look like nothing. Her nuclear power, her power of her chemical weapons, her ships in the ports of the waters of every nation, her troops and her military on the ground in Afghanistan, her troops and her military on the ground in Iraq, on the ground, secret operatives in Yemen, in Somalia, in other parts of Africa. Her deadly ships prowl the coast of every nation. She's a modern Babylon that make the ancient Babylon look like nothing. And so the Black Panther Party of yesterday called her Babylon. The Nation of Islam of yesterday and today, referring to her, I should say the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to be specific, refers to her as Babylon America. And in this ministry right now, your dear brother, the student of Khalid Abdul Muhammad, Malik Zulu Shabazz, calling her Babylon America. Now, it looks like today that the white man is throwing the new Black Panther Party in the fiery furnace of affliction. It is clear to me today that we are headed for the fiery furnace of affliction. White reactionism and backlash for punishing black people for just being who they are, let alone electing a black president, and for being now dependent on the white man after he have robbed us of a knowledge of self, robbed us of a power to do for self, here they are now circling the wagons and lighting the fiery flames to punish black people. I'm here to tell you right now, if you're on Section 8, you better hold on to what you got because it may not last long. I am here to tell you that you, if you're getting welfare or food stamps from the United States government, you better save something right now or do something for yourself because it may not last long. I'm here to tell you that there is another group of white people now coming into power that are going to punish black people with no remorse. They are lighting up the fiery flames. and they have prepared a fire for the new Black Panther Party. Like Daniel and the Hebrew boys, the white man of America and the powers that be are trying to throw us in the fiery furnace of affliction. In that fiery furnace of affliction right now is Sundiata Okoli. In that fiery furnace of affliction right now is Sekou Odinga. In that fiery furnace of affliction is Mumia Abu-Jamal. In that fiery furnace of affliction is Imam Jamil Alameen. In that fiery furnace of affliction is Mutulu Shakur, Jamil Mutakin, Marshall Eddie Conway, and already down have gone the way of the ancestors, assassinated by the enemy. In that fiery furnace of affliction goes George Jackson, Bashir Hamid, and still, though alive, trapped behind bars, Malachi Z. York, 33 degrees, 720. I'm here to tell you that we have already, those that are standing up for our liberation, those that are standing up against the enemy are already in the fiery furnace of affliction. And we are in the valley of decision right now. That's why I'm giving out a spiritual message. Because the spiritual man is the stronger man, as I said last time. The spiritual woman, the spiritual queen, the spiritual goddess is the stronger woman, the stronger soldier, the stronger comrade in this hour. You will have to be tied to that which is immaterial. You will have to be tied to that which is eternal, that which is beyond this world's life, if you plan on surviving in this hour. For this modern Nebuchadnezzar is force-feeding us the king's meat, is force-feeding us to drink his wine, is trying to force-feed us his poisonous, pus-filled culture of white supremacy, and it is not good for us. He's laying the die out, sisters and brothers. Either we are going to submit and bow down to white rule, white norm, white values. We're going to eat his meat, his doctrine, his teaching. Or we are going to be thrown in the fiery furnace for standing up and saying that we worship our God and we absolutely plan on defying him and declaring that we will worship our God, our black God, and preach the doom and the destruction of this modern-day Babylon, which have robbed the nations of the earth and robbed our mothers and fathers and drowned them in the lakes, the rivers, the brooks, and the streams and hung us from the trees and dragged us in the highways. And I'll be goddamn if in this day and time and if this hour we turn back from this mission and get bogged down into fighting one another, gossiping with one another, internet and Facebooking and attacking one another like punks and faggots, while the real enemy sit back laughing and the battle must take place. Hell no, before I do that, I will set the record straight in this offering that I offer you tonight. Pharaoh Pianki, bear with me, brothers and sisters. Black power and all power to the people. Pharaoh Pianki instructed his men before battle, praising the power of Amun-Ra and saying, and you're going to have to get used to this teaching from the ancients. You know, you say the original man
is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, and the God of the universe. We say it, but do we really believe it? And in the other lessons, it says that the original man is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, the father of civilization, and the God of the universe. Well, let's talk about the father of civilization and the God of the universe. Well, how were you the father of civilization? When were you the father of civilization? What did you do while you were the father of civilization and the God of civilization? What did you teach? When did you teach? How did you teach it? You can't get away with rhetoric when answering that question. You've got to plumb the depths of wisdom if you are going to go back and retain your God powers. Black Power, Pharaoh Pianki instructed his men before battle, praising the power of Amun-Ra and saying, "When you arrive at Thebes before Karnak, you shall enter the water and bathe yourself. You shall dress in fine clothing, unstring your bows, and set aside your arrows. Let no overlord or ruler boast of being mighty, for there is no strength in the mighty without Amun-Ra. He makes the weak-armed into the strong-armed, so that the multitudes flee from the feeble, and one alone take 1,000 captive. Anoint yourselves then with the waters of his altars, and bow down to the earth before him and say, make for us a way that we may fight in the shadow of your sword. For when the young men have sent forth, launch their attack, and the multitudes will flee from them." It is all written in the prophecies that we don't need to outnumber the devil or to have as many guns or the power in physical arms that he have to win this battle. We don't need that. For it is written in the history of Muhammad that it will take that one or a few will put many or thousands to flight. It was the United States of America who had the most awesome army and military, and that were bombing the hell out of North Vietnam and napalming the hell out of Vietnam. But it was the little man in Vietnam that drove the white man crazy and drove him out of Vietnam. And it was the masses of the people who have struck a stake in the side of the heart of his colonialism and his imperialism. What am I saying to you? That we are depending on the divine power of our black God and the divine power of the God within ourselves and the divine power within the black goddess within yourself, sister. And we say, greater is he. Greater is the God that is in us than the enemy that is in this world. We aim to prove that. And really, by the mere fact of our existence today, under the heat of attack, we are proving it. And so we're following up on last week. I know it's, time is moving fast. I'm not going to keep you long, but I must be strong. But pay attention. You say, I don't want to hear this God talk. You're going to have to hear this God talk because that's the way I'm going, especially here on Monday nights. Marcus Garvey says, never deny there's a God. God being universal intelligence, created the universe out of that intelligence. It is intelligence that creates, and man is a part of that creation. So universal intelligence and man was created in the image and likeness of God, and only by his intelligence. It is the intelligence of man that is like God. But man's intelligence is only a unitary particle of God's universal intelligence. That's Garvey on God. That's Elijah on God. Last week we touched on Malcolm in God. That's Khaled in God. I took you back to the Pharaohs and God. Last week, just to recap for a moment, we went in extensively into the fact that it's okay to embrace our spirituality. It's okay, brothers and sisters, to embrace your spirituality. And don't let people turn you off to your black divine self and your connection to your creator and your belief in the laws of Mayat. Justice, truth, balance, order, righteousness, and reciprocity. And to understand that reciprocity will be visited on your enemies. You will look quite dumb if you fell into disbelief in this hour and the evil empires that are arrayed against our people only had 50 more years. Wouldn't you have looked silly at the end of ancient Rome and Rome only had 50 to 100 years left? And you gave up on the God that was going to bring Rome down 50 years in advance of the God bringing her down. Wouldn't you look silly after the fact in the realm of the Egungun? Don't you give up on the laws of Mayat. Don't you give up on the laws of reciprocity. In fact, the fact that we give up on it so much is what limits it from actually taking place faster. So we said it's okay to embrace our spirituality, and I'm going to go back and start embracing a spiritual teachings and a black liberation theology, and it is all right for you in the new Black Panther Party. And I'm going to go further. I'm going to say it's all right for you in the black nationalists and the black power movement to embrace our spirituality and to get away from caught up in the bickering of religion. Don't get me wrong here. I am not here trying to teach you a new religion. I'm teaching you a black liberation theology that would turn, as Khalid Muhammad said, water into wine, to make this thing digestible to a people who are spiritual by nature. Khalid Muhammad was a spiritual man, and those of you who are out there in his name, be a warrior, be a freedom fighter, be a revolutionary, but understand that a man came amongst us who tied the bind between religion and revolution. A man came amongst us who gave us a universal teaching that tied the bind between spirituality and struggle, tied the bind between the faith and our freedom fight. And every point in his life, every battle he faced, every challenge he faced, I saw divine characteristics in him. I saw a black God working with him. We went over last week the black liberation leaders who were spiritual men, all the way again back from Nat Turner to Bishop Henry McNeil Turner, the forefounders of black nationalism, Denmark Vesey also, but Martin Delaney and others. And hell, we might as well talk about Boukman and Toussaint and Dessalines and Will the Ferocious. And though some of you out there might say that the Vodun or the voodoo is a pagan religion, whatever spiritual belief they was operating up off of, it allowed them to rise up and drive the Frenchman off the island of Haiti, and they drove the Frenchman into the sea. Now, what kind of spiritual belief is that? Maybe you need to revisit that. Black power? These men were spiritual men as well. Even while they were operating with the skulls of the enemy after they had killed them. So again, plenty of black liberation leaders and Pan-Africanists were spiritual men. Last week, we reminded ourselves that Africans have always been spiritual, and the root of all religions and spiritual practices rest in the African. And we must emphasize again, I don't care what religion you practice or what book you come out of, don't let nothing or no religion or belief take your mind off of your people and put it above Africa. If you're a Christian and you're into the Holy Bible and the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's fine. But don't let that drive you away from Africa. And understand that the Bible is a black history book from one cover to another, from Genesis to Revelation. Something we can go into deeper at another time. Understand that it is a book of prophecy. That is a book that is not just relevant for yesterday, it's a book that's relevant to today. The Quran, from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas, is a book that relates to the spiritual nature of the original people. Holy Quran 30:30 talks about the nature of our people being of the righteous, of peace, and that which is called Muslim. Holy Quran 30:30, Islam is the nature of our people. The Quran, not much as much of a prophetic book, though it has prophecy in it, is a book that fits into the monotheistic nature of the original people. And when a black man read the Quran and have the right knowledge of himself, does not become an Arab, does not become a parrot and set his eyes outside of Africa, even though he may take a trip to Hajj, if he's a real black man with a knowledge of self, he never leave Africa in this day and time. And his mindset don't leave Africa, and he don't put nothing over black people, whether they Christian or Muslim or no religion. He don't take nobody over black people and put black people down for nobody. And that's where some of y'all missed the boat when overwhelming amount of y'all understood and agreed. But when I met with Ahmadinejad, I did not meet with Ahmadinejad to jump over black people to meet with the leader of Iran or the Persian man. You're out of your mind. I meet with him to enhance the lifetime work that we are already doing and I'm already doing and dedicated to give my life for the black man and the black woman. And any other dealings in what's called internationalism or international relations are designed to strengthen the fight for the black man and the black woman. That's our oil out there. In Africa and in the Persian Gulf, that's our oil coming up out of Black Arabia. That's our natural gas. all of that in Arabia. I'm not going to go too much further than that. But don't you doubt the science of our international relations, because it's based on a sound political science. And if there was something weak about it, why would the devil be so upset about it? Why would the devil be so angry at such a meeting? Why would he have his CIA, Secret Service, FBI, and a whole host of his other snoopers and spies in on the meeting and continuing to follow up, to persecute and harass me for the meeting? Why would I even put myself in that position to be harassed, further harassed? I do it all for you, brothers and sisters. I do it all for you. So again, that's what we touched on last week. And we touched on last week that spirituality and prayer is in our tradition's best interest. It's in our tradition, and it's in our best interest. It's all right, black man and black woman, to pray to the God of your choice. It is all right to meditate and to contemplate in the method of your choice. Matter of fact, it's more than all right. It's recommended that we, like our ancient foremothers and forefathers, like our contemporary or recent forefathers and mothers who survived the traumas and the horrors of the transatlantic slave trade, it's all right to call on your Lord, to call on your God. Because again, it's like we said last week, if spirituality and the journey to spirituality begins with the inner path is what the individual must now get right. The individual has to get his house right if we are going to be good comrades, good brothers and sisters to each other, relate to each other right, get along in peace, and strengthen our ranks so that the enemy do not gain an advantage. We have to get the ka and the ba together. I didn't say the Kaaba, I said the Ka and the Ba, the spirit and the soul. Each of us possess the Ka, the spiritual intelligence and the mental intelligence and the power of the mind, coupled with the Ba, your soul and your connection to that which is eternal, and that gives you the willpower to carry on and to resist the wiles of Satan and to resist the deadly devastation and desires of the white man's world. It is the Ka and the Ba that you call in Mecca the Kaaba, the house of God. But you, African man and African woman, you are the real house of God. And there is no house in Mecca. No knock on Mecca, but there's no house in Mecca that is greater than the house that you're living in right now. And there's no use circling around the Kaaba in Mecca until you have wrapped up your own house and gotten your Ka and your Ba together so that we don't look so disjointed and so crazy as we march out here on the battlefield. We got to get our house right. And so you are the Kaaba when your spirit, your mind, and your soul are lined up in the right direction. Hopefully we're going to get you in the right direction tonight. Is your spirit up? How's your spirit? We're talking about spirituality. But now we're talking about spirit. Sometimes spirit is like the ratio of your energy, the level of your electricity. Are you depressed? Are you down? Something going on in your life? Dear brothers and sisters, we all get depressed. We all get down. None of us is impenetrable. Am I still on the air, brother? Brother Sean. Well, I guess I'm still on the air. If I ain't on the air, I'm sure wasting time. Somebody tell me, am I still on the air, please? I'm hoping I'm still on the air. Y'all hold on. Let me take a station break and see, am I still on the goddamn air? All right, well, hell, I'm assume I'm just on the air. Let me read this message. Let me take a station break. Y'all hold up 1 second. Don't go nowhere. Am I still on the air?
Yes, sir. You're still on, Brother Chuck.
Hey, I'm sorry. Let me get back. I have to be doing all this talking, and if I'm not on the air, I'll be then messed up. Okay, let me get back to where I'm at. I'm still on the air. I have to double-check sometime with all of these lines and stuff. We're talking about getting the house right. Your house, your temple, your body, our minds right, our spirit right. How's your spirit, soldier? How's your spirit, queen? Have you given up on black people? Have you given up on the liberation struggle? Have you given up on the Nation of Islam? Have you given up on the New Black Panther Party? Have you given up on God? Given up on yourself? Given up on your family? Well, if you're in any of those positions, to any of those degrees, we now have to get a healing. And we have to get our spirit right, get our mind right, and certainly we have to get our very souls right so that we can be better soldiers in this battle, because we have to put on the whole armor of God if we are going to win this battle. We are not going to be able to, and I am not going to be able to, resist the attack by the white rulers of America on the Panther Party and what they are planning to do without putting on the whole armor of God. If you are going to withstand this enemy, and if you are going to withstand the challenges and the frustrations of organizing black people, you're going to have your car and your bar right. You're going to have your mind right, your spirit right, your soul right, and everything right. If you are going to be able to withstand the challenges and frustrations of just organizing black people, let alone facing off against a powerful and a vicious enemy. And so we are focusing here in this ministry on getting our spirit right, getting our minds right, our souls right, so that we can strengthen ourselves spiritually and morally for the fight in what we described last week as our jihad. Yeah, I know that makes the tap lines tap in quick. Tap, 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 tap. Of which the enemy has made much mischief of the words, which comes from an Arabic root word, jihad, which means struggling and exerting one's power to repel the enemy. What enemy? The visible enemy? Or against the devil, which could be the same thing, and also against self and the challenges of self, struggling against the enemies of self, struggling against the vices of self, struggling against that which is keeping you from your divine self. That is a jihad as well. You cannot face the external enemy for the external jihad unless you are battling now, as we all must battle now, against the internal forces, the internal enemy, or battling to put down what Noble Drew Ali called the lower self in favor of the higher self. Then and only then do you get the mujahideen, the pluralistic sense of the fighters that go out to repel the attack against the righteous. Now, dear brothers and sisters, a holistic religion, a holistic way of life, pardon me, not religion, because I don't want us to get thrown off here. We're favoring spirituality over religion. Religion is not necessarily bad, but religion has been made bad because organized religion has separated people into sects and parties and houses of worship and councils of worship and boards of worship. And it have become corrupt and have left everybody, again, as I said in the beginning, pissed off and dissatisfied with religion. And we are here to find the commonality and the universality in all of the faiths in struggle so that we can do what we need to do, and that's bring black people into unity. Point number one, again, of the New Black Panther Party 10-point program says that we want freedom. We want the power to practice self-determination and determine the destiny of our community and the black nation. And early on, Minister Khalid Muhammad tells us we believe in the spiritual high moral code of our ancestors. We believe in the truths of the Bible, Quran, and other sacred texts and writings. We believe in Maat and the principles of Nguzo Saba. We believe that black people will not be able to be free until we are able to determine our divine destiny. The white man is not against you because you are a Christian. The white man is not determined to push us all the way into concentration camps because you're a Baptist, because you're a Methodist, because you're Ahmadiyya Muslim, just because you're Nation of Islam under Minister Farrakhan, or you're a Sunni Muslim. He's not concerned with your religion. He hates you because you're African. He enslaved the non-believer as he enslaved the believer coming to the hells of North America. He took the traditional African practitioner and the Yoruba man as fast as he took Kunta Kinte, who happened to be a Muslim. The enemy will take all of us. regardless to religion. So doesn't it make sense to reach out, to unite, to talk to, and to embrace our brothers and sisters in unity and to determine our divine destiny together and to have a doctrine and a teaching of black liberation theology that can pull all of this together? As you get yourself right, as we get ourselves right, as we get our minds right, as we get our ka and our ba right, and as our spirituality within ourselves enables us to relate better to the wider world, relate better to the brother and sister in your chapter, to the brother and sister in your mosque or masjid. Now, the liberation theology is how we look at the wider world and how we look at the struggle collectively. That's the problem I've got with most religion, is that nobody is teaching the collective doctrine of our collective salvation. And you got niggas jumping up and down, hollering and screaming, turning backflips, doing goddamn somersaults, talking in language we can't understand. But when it's time to get out there and hit the streets and do something for the masses of our people, your ass ain't backflipping no goddamn where. You ain't running nowhere. I just seen you running 50 goddamn laps around a big church you hadn't exercised in weeks, and your overweight behind is about to have a heart attack, saying you running for God, you running around on Sunday morning, literally running. Somebody got you running and hollering and screaming. But that same energy, that same effort when it comes to going out here and collectively moving on the issues that are determining our salvation as a people and as a nation, your ass run out of energy. And you run out of gas. And the only thing you can do now is pick up a fork and eat you a damn greasy-ass chitlin. Hell no. We need a black liberation theology. Some of this stuff is messed up. I just have to tell it like it is. We have been poisoned. Poisoned. And if you don't understand this Bible right, it ain't nothing but a poison book. You go in the Bible a fool and come out a fool. You go in the Bible blind and come out of blind. You go in the Bible dead and come out dead. If you don't have some of this kind of knowledge, this individualism. A few years ago, they all teaching economic spirituality. I guess they stopped teaching that once nobody got no money. Now they're teaching something else. Everything is about individualism. Your individual salvation. Yes, we are touching on individual salvation here, but if you think that's where we're ending, you're wrong. And so far too often out here in the church today, you're only concerned about, the preaching is only concerned about you. And about how you going to get a car, and God going to bless you with a car, and somebody's going to be hating on you, and God's blessings going to come to you. You're going to get that car. You're going to get that house. Turn to your neighbor and say, ah, God's going to give me that car. God's going to give me that house. Nigga, shut up. What the hell kind of religion is this? Why the people are dying? And you got the attention of the masses. I guess that's why they give you Word TV and all of that. The white man has damaged us with religion, and now some niggas have come back and are damaging us more, teaching the white man's religion. And therefore the books say, woe to the shepherds, for they are like dirty dogs. We love you. I'm not talking to the brother and sister in the church. I'm talking to the pimps that are pulling you in the pit, some of them, not all of them, for they are some good shepherds. I certainly can't say all of them, but goddamn it, too many. I'm talking to you about now the basis of which Khalid Abdul Muhammad comes out of. The basis of the dissatisfaction with religion that Master Farad Muhammad appeared out of. The basis for dissatisfaction in religion that Noble Drew Ali appeared out of. Even the basis of dissatisfaction with religion that Father Divine appeared out of. I'm not going to take too much time to attack tonight because I want to cover those points. But you must understand that it was the intense dissatisfaction, which what we still see going on, the exploitation of our people, the misuse of their God-given nature, the misleading of them. No one came with a doctrine that was relevant to our struggle as a people and tied the Bible and tied the Quran to our struggle as a people. That was not being done and had not been done on a mass level until the works of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I'm telling you in the last 20 minutes of this broadcast that you cannot understand properly Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad without understanding completely the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what he teaches and what he instills in a man, and what he got from Master Farad Muhammad. And we'll go further to say that if you got a problem with Master Farad Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you got a problem with me. And I must go on the record, as Khalid Muhammad said in his latter days, even in his final speech, that no matter how much water has gone under the bridge, no matter how much water has gone under the bridge, that he still had to acknowledge his teacher and the man who was largely responsible for his rites of passage and for the man he was and was becoming, Minister Louis Farrakhan. He acknowledged it, and he stated that in his record, we would be off of the historical record if we did not do that. Now, Khalid Abdul Muhammad, to me, in a sense, is like Asar or Osiris. He's like a black god of the underworld. And in the world of the black community, this is like the world of the dead. It looks like we're living, but we are the walking dead. And so a black man who was, in the minor sense, a black godlike man, Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad, he is on the scene, like Osiris, in the early days of Tamaray, giving out civilization, giving out a higher overstanding, doing a great work. But he meets jealousy of his brothers. he meets the envy of his brothers. Just like Esau met the envy of Seth and others who did not like him and did not like his power. He was hated because he was powerful, hated because he was dedicated, hated because he was principled, hated because he would not capitulate and kowtow to the enemy, hated because he was good-looking, well-dressed. He was a shining example of the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so Seth had tricked Osiris, Seth and the boys had tricked Esau or Osiris to the banquet and tricked him and stuffed him into a box or a casket. And they assassinated Osiris. And depending on which of the legends you go by, he was either sent up the river or he was immediately cut into pieces. But at any point in time, he was cut into 14 pieces. What do you mean cut into pieces? In this sense of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, he was cut into pieces, meaning that they chopped up his reputation, have chopped up his work, have chopped up his legacy, and have chopped up the meaning to his life. And so today, many of you out there, you just got a piece of Khalid Muhammad. You don't have the whole body. You've got a piece. You got a piece of a lecture, and you're teaching that piece, but you wonder why you don't have his power. Others have just chopped up his reputation and chopped him up out of jealousy and don't want to give the man his just due. And so because he has been chopped up and hated on without a cause, just like it was in them days, there's a spirit and a power that come to put him back together. There's a love in the heart of an Osset who called her Isis, but it's really Osset. And there is, don't take this the wrong way, even inside of the men, as strong as we are, there is a sensitive side of us, of love, that is likened to our set that goes out there and put them 14 pieces or put the 13 pieces back together. It is out of love. And it is out of not only love for us who have love in our heart for him, it is out of love of the black nation. And out of love for the force and power of what we call Sankofa or Sankofa that now reach back and put his life back together. And because his life by us who are faithful have been put back together, and because our heart is right, and because the universal womb of the god and the goddess have love for that man, he is being put back together, and he won't die, he multiply. And so our set went and found the 13 pieces of Osiris that were scattered throughout the land by the niggas that cut him up. And she put all the pieces back together, but she couldn't find the 14th piece. The 14th piece is the phallic symbol. That is his regenerative symbol, or the penis. Pardon me, but it's true. The 14th piece, according to the legend, was then taken, and in his memory and in his honor, duplicated around the Holy Land, and therefore you see obelisk all over the Holy Land of Tamaray or Kemet. And the white man takes one obelisk and makes it into a big, big obelisk on the Washington Mall and acts in fronts like he's got some big, big obelisk or big, big phallic symbol, really fighting his white genetic inferiority complex, proclaiming to the world that he's got the biggest phallic symbol of them all, which is a damn lie. The bottom line to this is that just like Aset, when she went and found them pieces and put them back together, then through divine power and the power of Ra, Osiris was resurrected. And in the process of him being resurrected, Aset was spiritually implanted with his seed, not physically. She was a virgin. And she was the first virgin, long before you had a Virgin Mary. There was a virgin Aset who gave birth to a savior child and a savior son, Horus, or Heru, a hero. But now in this symbolic sense that we're teaching here right now, after they had chopped up Khalid Muhammad, chopped up his reputation, basically convincing us that he is a bad man. I'm talking about the white man and niggas. Making us to believe he's a bad man and an evil man. Now the universal womb, likened to Aset, have put him back together. And now she have been impregnated and a child have been born. A Heru have been born. A Horus have been born. That is going to be raised up now and going to go back after Seth and kill Seth. And go to battle with Seth. And go to battle with the forces of ignorance and intolerance that killed our father. But we have we should rejoice as well that we have a Heru. To all of you today who follow his teachings, Khalid Abdul Muhammad and his ministry and his way, his universal way of this teaching I'm teaching that ties all of our teaching and goes back to the original black root of it all and the African spirituality of it all. To all of us who follow that teaching, we're like a modern Heru or a modern Horus. And I'm trying to open up now your eye of Horus. I'm trying to open up what you call your third eye or the eye of Horus or the eye of Heru that some of you all are wearing, so that you can spread your wings like a mighty falcon and fly high. We are that Horus, those who are following him and following his legacy. You are a reminder of the Father. You are a mighty Horus and Heru, each one of you I'm talking to. When you get your car and your bar right, when you get your house right, when you're more about unity than division, when you have a higher understanding, when you've tied the bind between religion and revolution, faith and fighting, struggle and spirituality, you got your wings on like Horace, like Heru, and you're flying high. You have been blessed, and you should fly high now, man. You have been given him, Khalid Muhammad, and then you have been given me. I'm like a little Heru. I'm like a little son of his, and I'm giving you enough knowledge and enough wisdom and enough understanding for you to fly high in the black community, for you to fly high in the black nation, and for your mind to be on high. Every day, brothers and sisters, you should wake up thanking God that you have this kind of teaching in your midst. Every day you should wake up and thank Almighty God that you have been blessed with this teaching. Because as much as we complained about the bad preaching, the selfish preaching, the individualistic preaching that's going on, one came amongst us with a black liberation theology. He wasn't the only one, but he was one of the best that ever came amongst us. We have been blessed with sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is a universal teaching based in Kujichagulia, based in self-determination, a sound teaching. And all we need to do now, brothers and sisters, is speed up. Speed up our imani, our faith. Strengthen up our iman to the Muslims or your faith. That's all that I'm asking you to do, dear brothers and sisters. Out of the dissatisfaction as I prepare to close tonight, out of the dissatisfaction of religion, the dissatisfaction of white oppression, the dissatisfaction of slavery, suffering, and death, the dissatisfaction of disenfranchisement, the dissatisfaction of the denial of human rights to black people, the dissatisfaction of the denial of all civil rights, international rights, out of the dissatisfaction of the destruction of the black man's mind, the black woman's mind, the dissatisfaction of the destruction of the black man, the dissatisfaction of the destruction of our families, the destruction of our nation, the destruction of everything that matters to any people who will call themselves human. One came, July 4th, 1930, name Master Farad Muhammad. And I must tell you, for those who questioned it, that Khalid Abdul Muhammad left the realm of the physical living and proceeded to the realm of the Egungun as a lover of Master Farad Muhammad. Now, what I want you to understand about this and about Master Farad Muhammad is we are not going to get into a debate, not here, not in this theology class. We don't have to get into no debate on whether he's God or not, or God in person or not, or a prophet or not, or whether he was the first one to teach what he was teaching or not. That's more along the lines of religion. And when people get into religion, they have to hold up their father as being better than the next man's father. And that's why we stay as spiritual children. You got one man over here, and he's going to swear up and down that if Master Farad Muhammad is not alive right now, and you're not praying to him right now as your God, then you're wrong. He's in his house over here, and you're dead wrong. Here's another man over here that says that that's shirk, and he's dead set against any teaching on Master Farah Muhammad. And he's over here saying that Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Abdul Rasulu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger, peace be upon him, and that Muhammad is the seal of the prophets, and if you mention anybody else other than Prophet Muhammad, you're out of luck with him, and he's in a religious box. Then you got a Christian over here, dear brother and sister, a follower of Jesus, but a Christian who may misunderstand, and they'll tell you if you don't believe that Jesus died and rose on the third day and is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, then you're out of luck with them. And all of y'all out of luck with me, because you all just do not understand the tie that binds between religion and revolution. I will tell you that tonight that at minimum that Master Farah Muhammad is a wali. He's what is called in Arabic a friend, but a protecting friend. And what I think that you should focus on for those that love him is not necessarily debating about who he is and debating about who he is, when all you got to do is bear witness to what the man did and what he accomplished. This doctrine here that I'm holding in my hands, the supreme wisdom, lessons by Master Farah Muhammad to his third student and his servant, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to the lost found nation of Islam, is a healing. And this teaching was a healing and designed to counter the dissatisfaction with white oppression, white supremacy, and the destruction that the white man's world had been put on us. And so here comes Farah Muhammad teaching a doctrine now what they call black supremacy. And this is the root of college teaching. Yeah, he made it sound good and great, and he related it to all other doctrines and explained it very well. But he had a root. All of you who love Malcolm X, we love Malcolm. Those of you who don't, that's on you. We still love Malcolm. None of us is perfect, including me and including you. We love Malcolm. But there would be no Malcolm X and the explosion of black consciousness without the teachings that came from Master Farah Muhammad and his great act of raising up a messenger and raising up a messenger that would teach his teaching and spread his teaching and give his teaching a program, a life, and platform, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that is the base of the black consciousness movement of the 1960s. It's the base. It's the base for the black revolution, the base for black, the great black historians and black writers who come to teach out of this base. It is the base, but it was given to us by what they call a strange man who, it is said, come from Mecca, Master Farah Muhammad, or W.F. Muhammad, who at other time was called Wali, Farah Muhammad. Now, some of you will say, well, Farah Muhammad was not the first one to teach that the black man is God. That is correct. But no one was successful like him in putting that teaching into motion. It is true. If you go back into Kemet, if you go into the sacred temples of Setiwan in the holy city of Abydos, if you study the creation of the ancients, God in human form, or the human expressions, pardon me, human expression of the divine powers of the Creator, and the reference to human beings being gods and goddesses was already in existence. Remember, this one I'm talking about came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to bring back the forgotten knowledge. It is true that in the early 1900s, a black man on the scene was named, black man on the scene preaching in Harlem by the name of Father Divine, declared himself to be the Almighty. For those of you that debate that whether or not Master Father Muhammad called himself Allah while he was here, or whether or not that was brought by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad after he left, well, consider the fact that Father Divine was just on the scene publicly and openly in the 1920s, just straight up teaching that Father Divine is God. And all of his followers greeted each other, peace, peace, peace. And there was a movement around Father Divine. And not only was he teaching it, his followers, many blacks in Harlem, were standing up and proclaiming that Father Divine is God. I am not here telling you that is a fact. But I am pointing out the fact that we are in the messianic age, that we are in a prophetical point in time, that we are in a time where the black nation is being raised and the presence of God is amongst us, and that when you hear a black man proclaiming his divinity, when you hear a black man or a teacher like Master Farah Muhammad that comes out and teaches that the black man is God, when you hear that a man named Clarence 13X is calling himself Father Allah, I don't want you to get upset or thrown off to the point that you don't understand that we are in a divine state and time, and that all of this is prophesied, and that all of this would come to bear in this hour. Yes, there was Islam in America before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Noble Drew Ali was here teaching a form of Islam, and he had a book and a teaching on the Circle 7 and the Holy Quran, K-O-R-A-N. You must respect this man because he established something good for our people, even though through infighting and sabotage, he was rooted out. Marcus Garvey was in America building a movement. And so we don't get real religious with this thing. Well, we have to get real defensive is what I'm trying to tell you. You don't have to get religious to the extent or defensive to the extent where you will say that Master Farah Muhammad, nobody came before him. Nobody taught this before him. Nobody had an impact on the movement or Elijah Muhammad before Master Farah Muhammad. You will be wrong on that. But he is honored and respected here by me and by Khalid Abdul Muhammad and by those who are listening as a very profound and great man, and his teaching, despite anyone that came before him, by the time you got to the 50s and the 60s, that which he put in Elijah dominated our movement. And the black conscious movement still owes its modern debt in the modern context to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the messenger of God. And so, this is what Khalid Muhammad, this is his spiritual base. This is what he believed in. And the religion that was given to him was not a quote-unquote pie in the sky after he died. It was something sound on the ground while he was still around. The religion that took God out of the sky. Not that God is not universal. Not that he's not all-knowing, not all-wise. Not that he's not from the beginning to the end. But yes, he had to make himself known. And he shares his experience, shares his divinity with the human being. He takes God out of space, as Khalid Muhammad told us, and gives us a real religion, a real spirituality. God is in man, and the devil is in man. That there is no mystery devil. And that the Caucasian, as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and taught through Minister Farrakhan to Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, that the Caucasian is the true and living devil, and that you need not look under the ground and think of the devil as some man with a red pantyhose and a pitchfork on, with a pitchfork, and the devil has been right here giving you hell all the days of your life. He didn't teach us about a promised sky. We were taught about the promised land. And we were taught a teaching which was mislabeled black supremacy, which dealt with the black people of America being the lost sheep and the lost found of the scripture and to being returned of their own. And that America, this modern Babylon, that her time is up and she is to receive divine chastisement and divine doom according to these teachings we have been taught for her mistreatment of the black man and the black woman. These are just points, just some points of the teachings of Master Farah Muhammad is given to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught to us by Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to pick up on this next week in the third of my final series on Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad, Black Spirituality, and the Republican attack on the new Black Panther Party. I'm going to pick up on it, but I would like you to take this tape and this message and to spread it around and to run it back over and over and over again and to go back and get part one and rewind it and play it over and over and over again, so that we may grow spiritually, and so that we may grow mentally, and so that our souls will be right. We are to undergo a great trial. You're not going to have it easy. You had it easy for a moment. You had it slightly easier under a black president. You had it slightly easier for a moment, but you will not have it that easy from here on out. What Obama failed to do to us righteously and legally, the enemy will not have as much mercy. This enemy don't care what the evidence look like. He seeks to prosecute and execute. He seeks to prosecute, incarcerate, and execute. Mumia's life is not safe. Mumia's life is not safe. Don't you think that they will not execute Mumia as he sits in the fiery furnace of modern Babylon? Don't you think they won't? Don't you think that they won't execute Imam Jamil Al-Amin behind bars? Don't you think that they won't execute Malachi Z. York, behind bars. Don't you think, well, we already know that they will try to put attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz behind bars, and that they certainly will try to imprison any new Black Panther member that they can. They want to either divide us or get into fighting and killing one another, or they want you to turn back on your doctrine and teach a teaching that is palatable and favorable to the enemy so they won't have to worry about you. And since they know that they can't turn this teaching and this program around, this teaching and this program around, then they're going to do all that they can. And so you got to gird up your loins, get your car and your bar right, and put on the whole armor of God. Settle your differences with your brothers and your sisters in the ranks. Settle your differences in the ranks of the new Black Panther Party. Settle your differences. Your animosity, your bickering, your babbling, your squabbling, your rebelliousness, not all of you, but some of you, all of that is going to cripple the rise of a Black Messiah. All of that is going to tear apart the Heru, the cub, in our midst. We're too valuable to be out here fighting each other, arguing with each other. But we got to move this program. Black people got to be fed. They got to be housed. They got to be ministered to. They got to be taught how to stop the violence. They have to be educated in schools. They have to be politically educated, spiritually educated. They have to be united. And so the Ka and the Ba of the Black New Black Panther Party must be together. Our house must be together, so that we can circle around our house, our Black house. We're supposed to be the stone that the builders rejected to be made the headstone of the corner. We can't do it squabbling and babbling and fighting amongst each other. We can't do it with a low spirit, a weak spirit. We must come out of it. And I'm here to try to help you to come out of it, dear brothers and sisters. It's a great day. Stop squabbling in the Black nationalist community. Stop squabbling in the RBG community. If a brother and sister is not teaching that which you believe should be taught, if he's not attacking us specifically, or attacking our leader specifically, or attacking me specifically, then be ye not the aggressor in word or deed. Don't aggress. If you got a clean glass, hold up your clean glass as your example. You don't have to get out here fighting over who got the dirty glass. All of us need to come together. All of us need to unite and recognize we have a common enemy. And so the new Black Panther Party, under my leadership and under Khalid Muhammad's legacy, we're not going to get out here and be fighting no Nation of Islam with Louis Farrakhan. No. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We're not going to fight any of the other teachers and the other brothers and sisters that are out here teaching and looking really to drag us down into some kind of squabble on the computer. To hell with squabbling and typing on the damn computer. That ain't no real war. Where I come from, you bring that stuff out to the rostrum. You bring it to the stage. And if you're bold enough to bring it into the community and tell it and walk out that door and walk to your car, then you can live with it. Other than that, shut the hell up. We're not going to get into that. We are to be the example. And so we'll get into that next week, dear brothers and sisters. I thank you for listening tonight to this Black Liberation Theology. I thank you for listening to this thrust in the new Black Panther Party. I thank you for being aware of the attack. I thank you for all of your words, for those that have written me and said that they support what I'm teaching and this ministry. To be honest, I feel so much better now that I am able to open up and to teach. Not only is it, as your letters are writing to me, it is a healing to others, but I'm also, it is a healing to me. And it helps me to carry on further in this mission. I will see you in Norfolk this Sunday, November 21st, in Norfolk, Virginia. I guess Minister Sean will come on when I get back off, when I get off, he will come on and give you the address and the time. At 4 o'clock, I will be the guest of the Norfolk chapter in Norfolk, Virginia, as we touch boots on the ground in Virginia, as Virginia is growing fast. And they have traveled everywhere to help us. Now we must travel and to support them. And we will be out on the road, raising the mentally, morally, and spiritually dead Black man and Black woman, and establishing the program of Black nationalism, Pan-Africanism, and a Black liberation theology. I am your brother. I am nothing. I am merely the chairman. I make no reputation of myself. For all that exists and is in the universe and was and shall be, I am like a speck. I am like a grain of sand, and I am here to tell you how great the Black God is and how great our destiny is as a people and how great you are and how great a man, Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who came amongst us. I will talk to you in Norfolk on Sunday, and I will be back on the radio next Monday for the third part of this series of gearing up for the Republican attack. And I will get in more detail now and name the names and get off into the politics next time. But I have to deal with the spirituality and the root of this in the very beginning. Black power, assalamu alaikum, hotep, shalom, free the land, and black laws for all black people. I love you, and I am your servant, and I depart from you.
still the philosophy which holds one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Miss a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all,